Jowson, you should give me a beat to start the show before I throw a Diddy party without Diddy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Jowson.
Hi, everyone. Jowson with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas, baby. Yeah, keeping it real. Hope everybody's doing well today. Folks, I'm going to play a clip for you. I think I can find it. But just to give you the gist of it, in Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, they are now trying to pass legislation to make it illegal to marry your first cousin. Now, normally we would think that something like this would go over without a hitch or without any opposition. Oh no. Mm-mm. There's one legislator that's saying, wait a minute. Now, I personally don't agree with a person marrying anyone within their family lineage. That's me personally. I love my family. There's not a soul in that family that I would ever want to be with under any circumstances. Hell, half of you have problems just having family reunions with them. But on a serious note, this is kind of a head scratcher for me, because stuff like this, and I know they have all kind of jokes about Alabama, and you know, and true enough, they had one kid, I think this was years ago, he wanted to marry his grandmother, I believe. Something had happened with his mother, and I was reading an article about it. It's kind of weird, but this is not the first time something strange like this happened. In Oklahoma, a woman married her son, had to divorce him, and then wound up marrying her daughter. There's got to be something going on. It's got to be something in the water. There's got to be something going on a psychological basis that's far out of my pay grade. But these are issues. And the reason why I bring this up mainly is because I remember one time a friend of mine was dating a lady. And he told me, because she was a nice looking woman, he says, man, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm like, why not, man? We met her at a mixer. He had met her. I'd met this other lady. The other lady I met was a little bit more conservative. She had gotten out of a bad marriage, and boy, was she tough to talk to. You men, those were her two favorite words. Everything was you men. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, the scar tissue from this past marriage must have been something else. I got her to smile twice throughout our whole conversation. Twice. And she had a 1,000-yard stare, like she still was brooding over not getting what she wanted out of the divorce. Now, my friend came over and told me, he says, yeah, I'm not going to talk to the other girl. I'm like, why not? He said, man, she said that she used to date a relative of hers. The first thing that went in my head was dun 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 dun, Deliverance. And of course, I thought he was kidding. I said, man, she's probably saying that to get rid of you. He said, I don't think so. He said, how many women would actually say something like that? I said, well, you got a point. I said, I knew of a guy that tried to talk to a lady And she told him that she had AIDS when she didn't, just to get rid of it. I said, some people will go to extreme measures. Now, true enough, I don't know if her situation was valid, but just for someone saying something like that, you run the risk of people, of course, spreading word, and that's what he eventually did. And she left very early because none of the guys wanted to talk to her. You know, it might have been normal in her world if that was the case, who knows? But like I told you, everybody has their own set of norms and values and standards. Some of them are ridiculous. Some of them, you just shake your head and say, why don't they license people to have sex? Because you just wonder sometimes. You just wonder sometimes. A shout out to my people in the UAE. I know you guys got deluged by rain, and hope everybody is safe, because from what I understand, you had some serious flooding over there, and you also had, I think, a mall to collapse. So Godspeed with you guys to get everything back together, as well as you folks in the central and southern part of the United States that had to deal with the tornadoes. It's been wild this season, to say the least. We're going to get to playing this clip, and then I'll be back with you shortly.
Probably be illegal soon in Tennessee, but not without a fight.
Yeah, a Republican lawmaker defends cousin marriages today after saying his grandparents were first cousins.
State Capitol Court Chris O'Brien has more details on the unusual bill.
Currently legal for two first cousins to marry in Tennessee, but soon that will likely change.
First cousins in the state of Tennessee, you can't marry first cousins. We're not going to allow that in this day and age.
Thursday, the General Assembly passed a bill banning marriage between lineal descendants of a grandparent. Currently, the law only outlaws marriage between just the children of a grandparent. The bill passed unanimously in the Senate and drew support from most Republicans in the House, but not all of them.
There's an additional risk, but it's not as significant as some might otherwise be led to believe.
Brentwood Republican Representative Gino Bolso filed an amendment to protect cousin marriage if couples see a genetic counselor.
Obviously, the way he did it, we didn't agree with, and so his amendment failed.
I am so glad that Tennessee passed this bill, because we don't have any more children of the corn to worry about. First cousins marrying first cousins. You see, in history, that was an aristocratic thing to do. It was more or less like a status symbol of the wealthy keeping the wealth, keeping the lineage pure. Even though when you look at people like King Edward, for instance, he was born with a gross deformity as a result of such inbreeding. But these are the things that, you know, you're trying to prevent, but some people want to keep them more or less as a status symbol for some weird reason. So what this means for some of you folks is that you can't be looking for hot women at your family cookout. Kudos to Tennessee. Now, what we have to realize is that this is nothing new. This is something that has been historical. This is the way they have kept power away from the average person throughout the centuries. You look back, even in Rome, you had mothers seducing nephews and other relatives for power, influence. Cleopatra had an incestuous relationship. Octavia had one. Many women throughout history have. In order to seize power, retain power, it's always been there. And what we have to also understand is that these men wanted to retain power through their bloodline. And so they did so. Nieces and cousins. You look at it in this modern day, right here in America, we have people that have married their third cousin. FDR was married to his third cousin. And there's another prominent figure in our society that was married to his third cousin as well, that is a household name. It's kind of creepy, you ask me. Most people do not want anyone related to them in their bed with them. That's just the way it goes. Outside of a wife that's genuinely from some other lineage but not your own. But then again, when you look at situations like the royal family, for instance, in our modern era, many of them have chosen to breach past activities. King Charles, he married a commoner, Princess Diana, who was Winston Churchill's, I guess, great-great-granddaughter, I believe, or niece. I think it was his great-great-granddaughter. She was a commoner. Prince Harry, Meghan Markle. Well, she was a commoner and a foreigner. So they have broke tradition in that sense. The king that abdicated the throne so that Queen Elizabeth, Prince Charles' mother, could then assume the throne, he left because he fell in love with a commoner, a non-royal. He abdicated for her. So you will see this behavior. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's wonderful because judging from the past history of many of the monarchies throughout Europe, there was a lot of interbreeding going on to retain power. I know a lot of people take pride in their history and traditions, but there were some things that really had to be looked at if you really think about it. Some people went years without bathing. Some would have a bird bath if they were lucky. One thing that they used to wear, especially in throughout Europe, was this underwear on continental Europe. It was more or less like this undergarment. I think it was made out of cotton. And it would supposedly catch all the debris from a person's body, the sweat and everything else. And they would wash the garment, and that was supposed to get rid of the filth of the person. The reason why you saw men throughout history bring women flowers, it was not, especially during weddings, it was not a romantic gesture. It was a way of masking the odor of the women. As well as, you know, the men, they had that damn body odor. And this is what it was actually used for. But a lot of people don't quite correlate. You know, it was funny, a lady that I dated from Sweden, she was the one who informed me of this because she was a history major in European history. And one thing that was funny, she says, this is the reason why to this day, I don't want you bringing me flowers. If you're telling me I have body odor. And I thought that was weird, but I noticed this not just with her, but a lot of European women, especially Scandinavian women, they may think that flowers are cheesy. Of course, she couldn't speak for all women. But I thought that was kind of interesting when she talked about that. You have to remember, some of those wonderful palaces and castles did not have bathrooms back then. So they had people that would have these pits, and they would do their business. And then they had people underneath, stirring it, burning it, whatever they had to do in order to get rid of the excrement. Don't mean to gross you out, folks, but what I'm saying to you is we have it better in this era than any time before. Even those of you who want to go back to the 1950s, we have it better now than back then. And there's some people that have been caught in a time capsule and they don't want to go forward. Tough shit, the world's still going to rotate whether you're on it or not. This is what we have to face. But overall, hopefully these antiquated laws throughout the country will be done away with, revised, because many of them are on the books just for the hell of it. And Washington State, disturbing Bigfoot. Why? Why would you even have a law for that? When Bigfoot's not even around, hopefully. Or for someone saying that you cannot push a moose out of a plane with a parachute in Alaska. This means some dumbass probably did it. That's the reason why they can't have to come up with a law. But if it's a one-off, do you really need to go and have the legislature vote on it unless there's absolutely nothing to do? Probably that. Florida, they had a law where you could not molest an alligator. Who would want to? But then again, you never know. It's funny how the behavior of a few will require the conformity of the many. I don't get it. We'll talk more in just a moment. All right, Ronald writes the following. Johnson, what is your opinion of the situation that I'm faced with now? I met a girl. She's very nice, very sweet. Love her to death. However, I did find out that we have some differences. I've only been talking to her for about 3 weeks. She's Jewish and I'm Protestant. She informed me that I would probably have to convert over to her religion, Judaism, before we can go forward in our relationship because her parents would not approve of me as I am. I've thought about this. I haven't brought it to my parents' attention yet. I know it seems kind of odd that a 32-year-old man still gets approval from mom and dad, but I need their blessings, to say the least. I've been through a lot of things throughout my life, and now I think that this lady is the person that can center it for me. Do you think there's any room for compromise between us? She was pretty adamant about what she said. I have my reservations about conversion. Ron. And he has underneath his name, please do not disclose the city or state that I'm in. I'm already in enough trouble, LOL. All right, Ronald. What I will tell you is this. I've dated a couple of Jewish women. Didn't have to convert with one. The other one, she wanted me to. But we had kind of, it was like dating a porcupine in a way. Because we had a lot of fun together. I went to my first bar mitzvah with her. I celebrated many of their holidays with her. It's a beautiful community. Jewish community is a beautiful community. So is the Muslim community, because I've had a chance to be in both at one point in my life. And I tell you this, she used to always tease me and call me a lowly Gentile. And I don't know, this felt kind of ugh. But overall, we had a good relationship, but she was moving back to Israel. She was going to go back to Haifa. and she wanted me to convert for. And I was like, honey, enjoy your life. I'm sure you're gonna have a good one. Very nice lady though. This is something I think you will have to make a decision on yourself, sir. I know you want the blessings of your parents, but it's going to be something that you have got to search your soul and see whether or not it's the right thing for you. Now, understand also you're going to be bound by some of the customs. So it doesn't mean that it's not going to work by no stretch, but you guys might reach a compromise. I think if it was a big issue, she would have said no altogether. Being that she is telling you that you would have to convert, I think this has more to do with if you guys are going to get married or go forward, children, family, that kind of thing. I would say learn from the experience as much as you can. Enjoy it while you can. And keep wide eyes open that there's a good possibility she may say, well, maybe we could coexist in a relationship. You never know. But yeah, that's a tough one. But that's going to be up to you to make that decision. And I think you don't want to quite deal with the consequences that your parents may have kind of imposed on you if you were to reveal what's going on. It's understandable. It could be a challenge, a definite challenge. Now, folks, what I want to talk to you today about is we come up with a hypothesis. Like, for instance, when people write into the show as he did, I can only form a hypothesis of what a person writes the show on. I don't have any factual basis as far as knowing their personal situation. So I can only go by what they have come about. Now I could apply a theory if I've had an experience where it would coincide with my assessment of what happened. That's all I can go by. And the reason why I say this is because some of you write in, and especially those of you who have to make a decision on certain things, you're the one that has to make the decision. You got to live with the consequences. You know more of the details of what's going on than I do. An email, a message doesn't tell me much. And what I can do is give you my opinion, what I've done from research. That's about as far as I can go. But it's going to be up to you. Now, if I had experience with something, I could tell you what I did or what I would do. But that would be it. We're all looking for that magic bullet that's going to fix our relationship. Fix it. It's not like you're dropping your car off at a repair shop and expect for it to be fixed, even with a therapist. Because there are people that go into therapy, they get through those doors and they shut down. Or they may lie their way through therapy. Or they may deny their way through therapy just to get through it. So it does no purpose in some cases, because when you write in and you talk about how, yeah, it was a waste of money. True enough, it could have been if you didn't have both people participating. See, that's the thing you have to remember. You got to get a green light from your partner to at least try. But what this tells you, if they say no, and you know your relationship needs to go to therapy, what that means is that I'm not willing to go that route to save the relationship. I'm still going to go the same way we've been going. And if it doesn't work, to hell with it. That's basically what they're telling you. See, therapy is not a cure-all. This show is not a cure-all. And no one has all the answers. See, I can openly say, I don't know. Is there God? I don't know. I can only go by the wonderful things that I've witnessed, the things I've been told. But do I innately know? Did I ever see him? Did I ever speak to him? Did he ever speak to me? Or was it me speaking to myself? You know, when you hear people say, oh, God told me to do this.
They spoil your relationship.
Those toxic people. As I told you, there's a tree that grows in Africa. And everything around it dies. There's only one type of bird that can go and nest at that tree. It's even harmful to humans. Some of you have people that are just like that tree in your lives. You may not see it, but your partner may. There was a couple years ago that I knew of, and the husband used to always try to help out the other husband in the other relationship. The other husband had a gambling addiction, really bad. And we'll call him husband number one that would lend the money, husband number two who would borrow the money. Well, the till got up to about $3,000. And there were all promises made to pay the money back. Well, they stopped speaking to each other after a while. Husband number two was like, don't remind me. I know I owe you the money. Damn, you don't have to say it every time you're around me. Well, it got to a point where the women found out. And of course, husband number two wife got upset because she had just cleaned up their credit. Because of fiasco that he had did prior. Husband number one's wife threatened to leave him. Oh, and he begged and pleaded. And she says, okay, this time only. But what she didn't know, he had lent him money in the past. And she thought $3,000 was all that was owed. It was more than that. Don't know what the exact amount was, but it was more than that. Well, husband number two worked out a payment plan with husband number one. He was going to pay him to the tune of $500 a month until it was paid back. Well, that went on for about a year. Then he quit the payments. And he said, well, I don't see why I should pay you back. We're friends. Husband number one said, well, not for long. I have to take you to small claims court to get the rest of my money. He said, well, do that. Well, he thought about it for a moment. And he said, well, if I did that, I'll never hear the end of it with my wife. So husband number two says, well, I can pay you $250 a month this following year. So he paid him the $250 a month. For a whole year. Throughout this time, husband number two's wife was complaining. She wanted to take a trip, family trip with the kids and everybody, and she had saved up money to take that trip. Put money aside in that little vacation fund that they had at her job. Well, she made the mistake of trusting him with the money to go and buy the tickets. They want a discount. He paid his friend $1,000 of that money and took the rest and blew it at the casino. Of course, she wanted to know What happened to the money? Where are the tickets? What happened? He says, well, husband number one wanted all of his money, so I went on and gave it to him. Now, husband number one only got $1,000. They both are mad at husband number one. Husband number one, his wife, is upset because now she's thinking that he got the full amount that was owed. The women only knew about the $3,000. And he was thinking that, okay, that debt's been paid. Husband number one severed friendship with the couple altogether, so did the wife. A couple of months later, husband number two comes to husband number one and says, I know I messed up. He said, how so? He says, well, I was trying to take a second out on the house and my wife found out about it. She's getting ready to divorce me. I probably need a place to stay. Can I stay up at your place at least for 6 months until the divorce is finalized? Well, he goes and talks to his wife, and his wife said, well, since he's paid us off, it's okay. You can stay in the extra bedroom. It was only about 2 months later, after they moved in with them, and they went through the beginning stages of the divorce, moving stuff out, couple number two. He and husband number two and husband number one were talking one day. And he says, you know, you still owe me some money. He said, yeah, I know. I'll be able to pay that money back. Don't worry about the thing. I'll be able to pay it back. And he said, how? He says, well, I'm going to sell the cars too. We'll probably have to split the proceeds from the house, pay the capital gains on it. He says, well, okay. He says, sounds cool. He's living there rent-free with them during this time. Wife number one says, well, we should start charging him rent. At least $200 a month so he can contribute at least to the food or something. And so he goes to husband number two and he says, well, we will need at least $200 from him per month. He says, okay, no, that's no problem, cool. He says, but could I have that also go towards the money that I owe you? He said, no, I got to keep that separate. He said, no, you got to do me a favor here. He says, okay. He does so. Well, husband number two winds up quitting his job. Child support's got to be paid. And they took a chunk of money out as the divorce went through. That's going to be allocated to the kids. Give him a little cover before he had to start making the payments. And he was at home one day with wife number one. Husband number two told wife number one, if you allowed something like this to bleed through into your relationship. More in a moment.
Olivia.
What's that?
It's a sleeping bag.
Why have you got that?
I'm prepping for something. Let me in.
No, one sec. Huh? Leave the door 1 sec. Just explain to me. Why the hell?
Can we talk? I'm beautiful, by the way.
I know, but why have you got a sleeping bag? It's literally the first time we've met. We're going for dinner.
Yeah, and then after.
After what?
After dinner.
What?
What do you mean, what?
But,
it's like the next step.
Oh, you want? Yeah, but it's the first time we've met.
Yeah, but I have. What do you think I've got a sleeping bag? I'm not going to sleep in the same bed as you.
Yeah, I live with my parents, you know.
Yeah, that's even more reason why I got a sleeping bag.
Yeah, but this is...
I respect your parents. I respect you, innit? But... Oh, come on, let me in!
No, but it's just...
I thought you were a good guy, man.
Yeah, I am. And I thought you were a normal girl, but...
I am a normal girl.
Yeah, but nobody brings a sleeping bag to the first date. We're literally going for dinner.
I know, but then afterwards, what was your plans?
I don't know. Chill, talk for a bit. Listen, no, wait. I'm confused here.
What are you confused? It's simple. Sleeping bag, dinner, sleepover. We watch movies. No. We can have snacks.
Yeah.
Oh, snacks. I've got the snacks. Please let me in.
No. What the hell? What is going on here?
What's going on? Please let me
have no, but I still don't get why you've got red a sleeping flag. Bag.
Red flag?
What do you mean red flag?
Why are you not letting me in? Sleeping bag. I'm actually being quite respectful because I'm not actually going to be sleeping in your bed.
Yeah, but it's like.
Does that make sense?
I didn't plan on bringing you to my. I live with my parents. I'm not going to just bring
okay.
a. I'm not going to bring a girl I've just met for the first time.
I'm in a sleeping bag.
Yeah, but you're not getting the point. I haven't met you before until today. We've just been speaking online.
Yeah, but like we FaceTimes, like we've had conversations.
Yeah.
Slightly conversations.
Okay.
It's like hint, and now you're literally almost like pying me off, saying like you don't want to basically sleep with me tonight, and not even sleep with me, have me as a sleepover.
No, but you've got sleeping bags. Can you not see? It's a bit weird. I'm weirded out.
Why are you weirded out?
Listen.
I'm weirded out because I thought you were genuinely a decent guy.
Yeah, Sean. You don't have to call me a decent guy or whatever.
Sean.
Yeah, what about?
Huh?
What, I can't use your name now?
Shan.
Yeah, no.
Decent
but...
guy. How many other guys are you talking to then, yeah?
Yeah, but look, sorry, let's not flip this around.
Yeah.
You've left your house holding a sleeping bag, yeah? And you expect me to kind of take this. I thought it was a bit of a joke. I thought, what's going on?
Joke?
Yeah, but it's like...
What other girls are you seeing then?
No, but like, why are you holding... It's like you're holding a... What is this?
This is so normal.
So this means... It means you've done this before, right?
Yeah.
What the...
It's a good thing. It means I don't actually just expect just to sleep with you, like, the first time.
Listen.
It's a good thing.
I'll be honest.
I'll be your parents tonight as well. Oh my god, this is like the best thing.
Whoa. Slow down. I'll be honest with you. I find it rather more normal if you just wanted to sleep with me. This is just weird. This is... What is going on?
Hang on. You thought it would be normal for me to just sleep?
No.
I thought you weren't one of those guys.
No, I'm not. If I had to pick between the two, it's definitely not this weird thing you got going on here.
The whole time. I actually thought you were a decent guy.
Nah, this is just nuts. Sorry, Shan. I can't. This is weird. This is weird. Yeah? This is weird.
What?
It's just... No, I can't.
Okay, just dinner then. Just dinner.
Where is Marcus Aurelius when you need him?
Oh my gosh.
All right, now. This fella has his hands full, to say the least. He's dealing with a woman that's persistent. I'll give her credit for persistency. What she's doing is telling him, hey, tonight consisted of 3 days. Date, dinner, and dick. Now, he might not be used to this type of woman because he's probably been used to the traditional dating practices of just going to dinner, having a good time, and you take a date home. It could be that this lady is looking for a place to stay, or she could very well be so lonely that she doesn't want to be alone again. But in any case, it is kind of odd for a woman to want to be with a guy and bring her sleeping bag. Now, I've had something similar to this happen to me a couple of times where I would pick up a lady on a date. She would have an overnight bag. One lady tried to be slick. She had this large purse. And in it, she had a change of clothes. She had shoes, sundress. She had all of this stuff in there. And I'm under the assumption, when I picked her up, that we were just going to go. My day consisted of going to the beach, having dinner, then I was going to take her back home. She had other plans. She started telling me, well, tomorrow this is what we're going to do, because I'm going to be with you today, Saturday, and Sunday. I was off that Friday. Well, I didn't know it. Plans initially were for us just to be out one evening. That was Friday. Well, fortunately for me, I didn't make any other plans beyond that, so it was okay. You have some women who will do this. Now, in this case, though, what's happening here is she's doing this for another specific reason. She's doing it because she's more than likely establishing a beachhead at his home. Meaning, he's already explained that he lives at home with his parents and that they won't have too much privacy. She's trying to come across as being benign in the sense that she's bringing her sleeping bag and she's going to sleep in his bed inside of her sleeping bag. Well, we know more than likely that's not going to happen. And by the way, folks, as a footnote, a sleeping bag's a good place to have sex. Let me tell you, I have one just for me, and then I have a double one just in case I decide to have company in there. But one thing I will tell you, this is what she's using as leverage. Now, he's weird out on it because he's never had nothing like that happen before. But what she's trying to tell him in an indirect way, yeah, we're going to sleep together. And when he pointed it out, she, of course, denied it. Her goal, more than likely, is to become a permanent fixture in that household and to integrate herself with his family. And don't be surprised, a woman like this can turn on the charm when it comes down to parents and family. She pets the dog, she helps mom in the kitchen, teases dad, not in a sexual way, but in a comedic way. And she's trying to fit in. Now, here's the risk for this guy. If she does the job so well, it may come to a point where they want her around. She has now enhanced the ecosystem in the house. Once that happens, he's going to look stupid if he splits up with her, if she does a good job on him. Now, here's the other thing. She may be in a situation where she can have a roommate living at home, and whoever is there is ready for her to go. Being that she has done this before, this is not abnormal to her. It'd be abnormal to most people, but not to her, because it's a normalcy for her. So what this means then is that she's going to start making him look like he's out of touch, being that she's the one that has established what's so difficult about me bringing a sleeping bag. She could always throw in his face, most men would want a first date like me. Now, I'm going to tell you, fellas, from past experience dealing with a woman who has plans on being with you, and especially those plans where she hasn't told you what her agenda was, he's opening a box of surprises. This is just one. And probably this is the least threatening one. Well, there are going to be others. Now, here's the thing. These surprises are going to popcorn. Meaning that, don't be surprised, she helps mom cook breakfast in the morning the next day. She and mom go shopping together. And it's going to make him look like the bad guy if he tries to break up with her. Now, it could have an adverse effect. The women that are very proficient in doing this, they know what they're doing. Now, another thing that he has to consider Women like these are very possessive. If she's gone to this length to get him, or she'll go to further lengths to keep him. And this is something that he may not be used to. Now, if she gets to a point where she's purging and treating his family like hers, telling her problems, especially associated with her upbringing, hard luck stories, those kind of things, in order to endear herself with the parents, that's another feather in her cap. Now, this woman right here, and I'm just assuming, and again, I'm just basing it off of what I've experienced in the past. They sometimes will have this notion. They already have a plan laid out for you. And that was the problem with the lady who had the overnight bag with me. She basically told me how we were going to spend our weekend. Now the other lady, and I'm talking about the one that had the sundress in the huge tote bag. I'm talking about the other one that had the actual mini brief and mini suitcase. And she told me that she didn't want me driving back to pick her up, so she's going to spend the night with me. And she had an itinerary set up, not only for that Friday night, because I picked this other lady up on a Friday night, it was after 6. She had an itinerary for Saturday, Sunday, and she stayed until that Monday, because Monday was a holiday. And didn't ask me anything. But the way she looked at it, since she's giving me the attention, how's a man going to turn that down? Now, things were going pretty good with us. So that Monday, that holiday. And what she did, she said, well, I'll be over here Thursday of next week. And Thursday, I'm not leaving until Sunday. She's telling me what she's not doing and that she will do without consulting me on my schedule or anything else. And boy, when I brought up that I had some things I had to do that next weekend, all hell broke loose. And I realized I'm not going to be able to deal with this because she gets triggered when things doesn't go her way or when someone has a concern that doesn't fall in line with her agenda. This is a potential problem for him with a woman like this. Now, ladies, you know damn well, if you went on a date with a guy and he had a suitcase and a trunk of his car in the back seat already packed without consulting you and planned to stay over at your place, you would think he had lost his damn mind. Now, as you know, I think about a year ago, last year, there was a lady that was on a clip that I played, and she invited this man over for dinner. Well, he comes over, pops his feet up on the coffee table, turns on the black and white Western, goes in her refrigerator and gets the last beer, goes to the bathroom and places his toothbrush in the toothbrush tray. And this lady had paid for tickets to go to this event, and he didn't want to go, asking her what was she going to cook, as if it was his place. She was very patient, but eventually she got him out of the house. She didn't let him in again. Now, I had to do something similar with this, both of these ladies, because what happened, they thought, well, the only thing I have to do is assert myself and make the rules, and he will abide by them, because after all, he's going to have a woman in his bed. So that on itself is enough. Maybe you're taking a big risk with this. But some women are very bold in doing it. most men would never take a risk like that with a woman. Usually a woman would invite him to stay at her place overnight. She may say, suggest something like, after the day is late, you're not driving home, you've been drinking, you're gonna sleep on the sofa, I'll sleep in the bedroom. I went through that scenario a couple of times too. And a couple of times she said she'll sleep in the bedroom, and she brought her ass into the living room butt naked and we wound up fucking. It depends. Depends on the situation. But in this case, beware, fellas. If she's straightforward like this, it could be she's already been through this, she's rehearsed it, she knows it like the back of her hand. And the other thing is that, don't be surprised, she'll be very difficult to get rid of if she gets embedded into your family where they love her and make her an honorary family member or whatever. A friend of mine had this girl that he dated. They broke up. But she had done all her PR work with the family. And I mean, this woman was at every family function, at his birthday party that his family threw for him. She was at a wedding in the family because they liked her so much. And of course, it raised a stink with my friend. And he was like, man, I don't like this. And he tried to tell her to stay away. Well, what she did, she went and told his mom. His mom got in his ass about that. And mom wound up telling him, she's my friend. Because he wanted her to quit visiting his mother and carrying her to the grocery store and doing different things. And that put a rift between them for a while. And my friend was still under the impression that this young lady wanted him. But she didn't. And his mother was the one that planned her wedding to another guy later on. Sometimes those relationships, those bonds are deep, especially maybe if the woman didn't have a mother figure or a father figure, she will adapt to that particular family and want to. And again, fellas, like I tell you, this is something that's very difficult to undo if it's done well. You'd be sitting there scratching your head talking about, what the hell have I got myself into? And God help you if you get her pregnant. The word abortion is completely out of the picture. She's gonna have the baby. And if the parents buy in, they're gonna be the strongest advocates. They'll let the girl move in, probably. Mom will probably even want to babysit the child. And you're thinking, shit, I'd just rather just see child support and just let her go on and find her way. But if anybody get kicked out, it will probably be you, sir, if she does a good enough job in finessing the family. There's some people out there, I'm telling you, they can get into things, places that you would have never dreamed of because they know what to do. So good luck with you, sir. And hopefully, you'll survive it.
A well-established, tested explanation that provides a unified description of some aspect of the natural world. It's based on substantiated data, repeated testing, and the consensus of a wide group of scientists and researchers. A theory is a group of tested general propositions that can be used to explain and predict a class of phenomena. Hypothesis is a prediction or educated guess about the relationship between two variables. It's based on observation or evidence and must be testable. A hypothesis is a tentative explanation that can be tested and used as a starting point for further explanation.
Now, what we usually do in relationships, we come up with a hypothesis on that relationship
more so than a theory about it. I've always used hypothesis as a micro view, theory as a macro view. In the context that theory has been proven over and over again by others, that is more factual, as opposed to a hypothesis that may have different conditions in order to seek out patterns and to form opinions. Now, a hypothesis could also be looked at as the beginning of research in some aspects. Now, the reason why I say this in particular, we may go into a relationship and we may see some theoretical patterns that we are familiar with, and we may know whether or not there's a good possibility the relationship will be successful or whether it would fail. It could be based on characteristics that you have experienced in the past. So you have something to draw on with your theory about that. Take, for instance, you've been with several people who had an addiction. Your theory would be, these relationships never worked out well for me if they haven't. And you could base it on that, and then you can go and research and see how alcoholism and addictions, for instance, have impacted relationships. So you have a breadth of knowledge to justify your position. Now, when it comes to a hypothesis, it's a little bit different. Because at this point, you may see certain patterns of behavior. But what's the key factor? There may be a differentiation, unlike before. So that person that was addicted to whatever affliction, whether it's alcohol, for instance, instead of them having a consistent pattern, maybe in the theory that you were basing everything on from the past, where the partner that you had was just an alcoholic and that was it, this person may not display many of those characteristics, but may still be headed in the same direction. So this is where your exploratory mind goes into, well, maybe this might be different. Maybe this may be a different experience. Maybe this person's not going to be an alcoholic like the people that I've experienced in the past. Now, the one thing you're doing here, you're going into an area where you're starting research on this partner, trying to find out about the addiction. How bad is it? Was it like some of the other relationships you've had where the person was totally dysfunctional when they were consumed with alcohol? Where this person is a functioning alcoholic. Now, I'm not trying to get into any kind of science realm, but what I'm trying to do is to kind of bring it home in a way where you will be able to correlate some of the things, some of the way you think when it comes down to relationships. Now, what's one of the things that comes up first? Skepticism. In the event you find someone that may have something that you have an aversion to, you're very skeptical. And what do you fall on? You fall on theories of the past. Now, the difficulty for you is to decide whether or not you're going to judge that person based on the theoretical context of what you've experienced with that person in the past versus going through with this hypothesis where you already have a bias, mind you, that this person may wind up just like the other people in the past, an alcoholic or whatever. But you don't know this. But some of the characteristics are not falling into place like they have in the past. So you're going further into the relationship. This could be with cheating. This could be with a whole bunch of other things. Now, usually what do? We make judgments on people based on the information provided. The reason why people conceal things from us when it comes down to dating is because of the fact that they don't want to be judged in the beginning and eliminated from consideration. That's the main reason why people lie, deceive, gaslight. They do all these things, catfish and everything else. Because there are some people that are so sensitive to the word no
or to rejection, that they will rather be unethical than to be rejected. Because the goal is to transfer the guilt onto the other party, even though that person was deceptive. I catfished you for a date by putting all these filters on my photos. We meet in person. I'm not the person you thought I was. Now, it's your fault for texting me, calling me, talking to me, getting me all prepped for this date, and now you're going to reject me because I use filters. That's their justification, is to make you feel bad because of the fact that even though they deceived you, you're supposed to disregard that and accept them in lieu of feeling guilty. That's what they would like to project. So with this, what happens? You have suspicions about people if they have certain familiar characteristics that you've experienced in the past. Now, some of you will jump to a judgment right off the bat and say, nope, not dealing with it. Mm-mm. You said that you were an alcoholic and you're recovering. I don't want to deal with that. I've dealt with an alcoholic. You have the right to do that. Some people may say, well, but you know, I'm going to AA meetings. I'm trying to clean my life up. If you're at a point where you have to go and try to appeal to a person, just like you do in court, where you're trying to get an appeal against a judgment, it's not worth it. If they said no, leave it at that, because the quality of your relationship will be inferior. You're not going to get the fulfillment or the trust in a relationship or even a full effort in a relationship from the other party. You're going to still be faced with a lot of skepticism, a lot of judgment, because they may have confirmation bias already existing, waiting for you to go and do something that will confirm their predisposition about you. Yeah, I knew you were like this. Why in the hell did I waste my time? Oh, you're just like the others. So when you're dealing with relationships, this is the one thing that you have to understand. You don't know what experiences this person has had in the past. And they can be very sensitive about certain things. I will never forget, I met a lady one time that would not date me because I went to the 99-cent store in Dollar General. That's where I would go and pick up certain items. She says, oh, only poor people go there. The very person, when she went into her purse, had an EBT card. It hit too close to home to what she already does. Worry about money. You will find that a lot of these women that are asking for these astronomical things for dating and relationships and stuff, a lot of them are actually trying to fight poverty, being poor. It's not a man's job to bring you out of poverty, ladies. It's your job to do that. Just like it's a man's job to do it for himself. I know many of you want to hide under that, but I'm a woman thing. Give it up. A lot of these younger women out there are getting it. They're making better life choices in the sense that they're not going out starting a family too soon or having children too soon. They're working on their careers. They're not looking at a relationship that's going to be concrete or permanent at such a young age. And they're putting things back in proportion, where they can enjoy their younger years, travel and do all these other things, so that they don't have a bucket list when they become 65 or so and retired. They don't need one because they lived in the bucket while they were young. And they could enjoy the experiences and do things. See, the days of working from the cradle to the grave are over. You may work for a company for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, get laid off, or the company may fold. Then you have to find somewhere else to go. A lot of you are going to be working with startups. So, you know, many of them don't have a long track record. So you're going to have to deal with that. You look at what has happened with Tesla. They've laid off a good percentage of their workforce. This will be a continual thing as long as you're in the workforce. Companies are trying to save money as much as possible. A third of the television and motion picture industry is not working. I mean, two-thirds, not a third. Two-thirds.
because these streaming services, they were making money at first, around 2010 or so. And then what did they realize? They had to go up on the fees. Production costs was getting a lot more expensive. And you look at what they're getting ready to do in Nevada. They're coming over here to Las Vegas, over to Sumlin, and they're going to have a full production facility over here because it's becoming too expensive to operate in California. See, they tried to move before. They went to Canada at one point. Then they went down to Atlanta. And now they're coming here. And then many of the productions are done overseas. In fact, they were doing one movie that was supposed to be based in San Francisco. The production cost was too much in San Francisco, so they shot it in South Africa. You're going to see a lot of that happen. And of course, with AI, now certain aspects of the industry will not be needed because they'll be able to use these characters that they could actually make up out of thin air now. They don't necessarily need to pay an actor $40 million for a film. This is where we're going. You look at the people that are 40 and over. Demographically, those are the people that are watching the news most of the time. And if you notice, the news aspect of many organizations will more than likely be the one that will survive. Primarily based on what political leaning you have or what host you like. But what's getting ready to happen, as we're seeing, a lot of these entities are cutting back on wages, they're cutting back on actors, even though they have this contract and everything written up. Some of these people are never going to come back into the industry. Limited supply, limited demand. And that's the way it is. You look at what has happened throughout the years with television. YouTube has gotten in the mix because of the fact that you look at many of these younger demos. That's their entertainment now. It's not watching sitcoms. It's not watching many of these scripted shows anymore. The beginning of it was with Cops. And from then on, unscripted television took off until it became scripted, even with the reality shows. And once they found that out, they were like, oh, to hell with it. Now you have people making their own skits on YouTube and they have a fan base. This is the way things are going. Things are changing. So with this change, some people won't, which will limit the marketability in the dating world, because you're going to have to be more flexible than you ever had to be before in order to find someone of interest. You even have women in my generation that are saying, I don't want to sit around the house and watch black and white movies on Pluto TV of Perry Mason and Rawhide No Shows. But there's a niche for that. But what you're finding is fewer people can identify with those shows. You'd have to be 60 plus for the most part. So, what does this mean for you? Well, it means that with this change in the employment environment, in the entertainment environment, you're going to see other changes. You've already seen it in music. Beyoncé's crossed over the country. Taylor Swift's dropping an album at 12 a.m. on the 19th, which I've already got my timer set for. Yeah, I'm a Swiftie. And what's going to happen, as you're seeing, is going to get to a point where the music industry is not going to be anything but just a distribution hub. Aggregators and music creators are going to be it. You don't have to go through all of the morass of ass kissing you used to have to go through if you're in the entertainment industry to be a filmmaker or something like that now. You could go make a film and release it on your own. Before you had to go through all the crap, you can do it on a GoPro. So you have a lot of things that are at your disposal now that weren't before. When it comes down to entertainment venues, younger people are more cost conscious now. They're looking to save money, not throw away money on people that are living in yesteryear's fantasy of lavish decadence, because of the fact that they're looking at it from the standpoint, tomorrow may not be as pleasant as today. So that's going to carry weight in itself. And some people may have issue with that because they don't like change. They want things to stay the way they are, but they can't. Now, what you're going to also have to understand too, you got to be a lot more intuitive with your emotional intelligence when it comes down to choosing a partner. The things I point out on this show, you're going to have to consider at some point some of these things, because you will be faced with some of them. You'll be faced with addictions, insecurities. You're going to be faced with people that may serve more than one master. You may be stuck with a person that's a slave to their career. And you have to make a decision as to whether or not that lifestyle choice will be the best for you. Because now it's going to be very important that you do so. Because those of you, depending on where you are in the scheme of age, if you're over 40, you don't have too many more options, too many more times to start over. And as you get older, those times become fewer and far between. So you really have to think about, if you're going to be in a serious relationship, what will it involve? See, a lot of times what we do in relationships, we cope with whatever's there. This is the reason why you've seen in the past a lot of people staying together 20, 30, 40 years. They might have known going into the marriage that it wasn't going to work, or that things were not going to be as easy as they thought. And by tradition, social pressures kept them together. They didn't want to embarrass the family by being the first divorced. They didn't want their kids reared by someone else. It had more to do with circumstances than love in many cases. So these people were together really when they probably would have been better off being by themselves. So it depends on how you approach it. But you're seeing now that a lot of people are saying, I'm not going to be inconvenienced for 20, 30, 40 years. Just like you're seeing these younger people say, I'm not going to be under a damn mortgage for 30 years. With student loans too? No way. Because they already, for the most part, have a negative disposition about the future for themselves. The last thing they need to do is to add on anything that will make them feel worse. So that means that banks, lending institutions, we have to come up with new strategies to make it more appealing for them to go forward as far as buying a home, those kind of things. Because this generation is saying, since it's going to just be me, my girlfriend, maybe a kid or two, why do I need a big ass house with a huge mortgage? Why am I going to put myself under all that stress? A lot of them aren't going to do that. Now, the other thing too, because see, we approached a house as a necessity. We approached an automobile as a necessity. Well, it became a necessity, especially like in places like California, because they wanted people in automobiles in the 1940s and 50s going forward. They wanted them buying cars instead of developing very good mass transit. Now, they've done some good things in the Bay Area, and they're trying to get things together in Los Angeles. But that's where things come into conflict, because now they're trying to move everybody to electric automobiles, the EVs, and they're realizing that there's a lot of resistance. One being the quality of the vehicles, the other being, where are you going to get charged? Where is the car going to be charged? And so with this, It's like we start out with a bad idea. Remember ethanol back in the day? Remember when we came out with the Chevy Volt? We have been trying to go in that direction for years. And it's going to have to be a gradual, not a mandatory transition for it to happen. So you look at it, the people that are driving these vehicles now, they're people that make pretty good wages. But how do you get to the people that really do most of the polluting? Not the wealthier people, but the average everyday Joe. So there's a lot of changes that will take place. So we don't think about these things. When you get in a conversation with a person that you're interested in on a date, they may start talking about the environment. You may shrug it off as not being important. That may be important to them. Therefore, as they see it, you're incompatible. Even though you may meet every other benchmark that they're looking for, you may not meet that one. And that could be a reason for them not to be interested in you. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the superficial premise of same location, same race, same community, same background. It could be differences in your philosophical outlook on things. That's going to be a key point for many of you, because your philosophies, the way you think, the things you hold value to, will have a definite impact. Now, there's another thing that you have to deal with as well. The delinquency of things that a person did not have in their lives. For instance, I had one lady that I dated once. She told me that we could never get married if I wasn't going to buy a house because she was tired of living in apartments. She lived in apartments all of her life. Well, I've lived in homes majority of my life, especially in my younger years. So it was a difference. I looked at it from, I only need a house for a family. For me, I don't need a damn house. But from her perspective, even if it was only the two of us, she still wanted a house. It was something that was a hallmark of pride for her. And I told her, I wish you all the best, go and buy you one. But it wasn't going to happen with me. Lifestyle choices are vital when it comes to choosing a partner. We think that we can integrate lifestyles sometimes, and sometimes they can't be integrated because these are things that are deal breakers, and you don't think about them, but they can be deal breakers. The only way they won't be is if you are willing to compromise and that partner is willing to compromise. And it sounds easy. It sounds very sophomoric, but you just wouldn't believe how hard it is difficult for some of these people to compromise, especially a person who's had everything their way all their lives. Compromise for what? I never had to compromise on anything. They're going to have to compromise. I don't. That's the attitude of some of them. And then they look at your compromising as a weakness, and therefore they feel as though they've won the battle when there was no battle. Then you have to deal with the people who are told no, that have never been told no before, because they always wiggled a yes out of someone. And these are the people that when you get into a relationship with them, you're going to find it very volatile. Now, there could be other reasons why people, of course, get into relationships. Prove a point, some political agenda they may have, some social statement they want to make, based on the race or gender of the person. It could be a lot of things. So what you have to decipher up front is, what is the agenda? And is the agenda that this person had in correlation with what I'm planning on doing? The person has. English whipped my ass again. Or the correlation. I tell you, this show's not edited, so it comes out the way it does. Now, a lot of other things that we would have to consider with this theory and hypothesis argument. If you know something will more than likely happen, odds are you're going to err on the side of theory. And you can pull up the stats for drunk driving, that kind of thing. Something where it is only obvious that there may be failure. It could be stats on getting married in certain communities. See, what a lot of people don't even think about, where you marry might dictate also whether or not you guys will have a decent marriage. Why do I say this? In one community, there may be an abundance of people of the opposite sex, which heightens the level of temptation. There may be another area where everybody is married off and there are very few single people. So the norm is to get married and stay within the boundaries of your relationship. There may be others where marriage is like looked down upon. And people will comport themselves sometimes to the environment. So that will also have an impact on you. Now, as some people have learned recently that have gone in different parts of the country for cheaper land, cheaper property, larger homes, they've realized there is a price to pay with that. Some of you are experiencing flooding, tornadoes, and those kind of things. Comes with the territory. Now, I was reading an article about what Mexico is experiencing. They're experiencing something like many other communities throughout the United States are, where these small communities now are getting people that are coming in from other parts of the country, and they're trying to not only gentrify, but change the way of life. They're trying to make it more like where they came from as opposed to where they're going. And a lot of communities are fighting back. Well, same thing is happening in Mexico, where now some people are complaining about, you're coming down here, you're raising the prices on things because you guys are coming here because it's cheaper to live here than it is in the United States. And therefore, you're pushing the dollar up. So what that means is that it's becoming more expensive for them to make it down there. An example one lady gave in the article was, she was a nurse at one of the top hospitals in Mexico. And she's making the equivalent of about $24,000 US a year. Now in the United States, she'd be making about $196,000 or so a year with all of her credentials. However, she doesn't have the full training like you do here in the United States, because they don't have certain facilities like they have here. And what she was saying was, she's one of the nurses that are doing better than a lot of the other nurses. I wouldn't doubt it. It all depends, folks, on where you want your lifestyle to be. And that starts with the life choice that you make. There are some people that enjoy living as an expat, but they can live in another country cheaper, living within their laws and regulations and rules. But keeping in mind, at any point in any of these countries, they can kick your ass out, send you back home. You get a group of nationalists in office and they can just say, we want all foreigners out. You have to go. That's the risk you run when it comes down to being an expat. Doesn't matter what language you speak with them, doesn't matter the culture or anything like that. If they ever get to an extreme right, they could always do that, or the extreme left for that matter. It depends. Now, you may meet someone from another part of the country, and you guys are diametrically opposed on philosophy, religion. It could be everything down the line, but you guys have a nexus in that you both like to debate with each other. It may work. Sometimes opposites do attract. Many times they don't. It really depends. We're going to talk more in just a moment.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jorzan's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jausan in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.